I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I got a crow.
Just like, and I mean, I started crying the other night thinking about my 11-year-old self.
You're kind of doing pop,
and she's sliding it,
and she's doing a half a moonwalk,
and she's doing a come hither.
We also,
I was holding my breath.
Last night, Tiana and I watched Pursuit of Happiness and woke up depressed.
That's crazy. Like, I can't, I would never do that.
I will never do it again.
I keep bumping into David Tennant here.
I said I was never going to watch it when I watched it again. The last time. And the reason I watched it the last time, if you remember, it was when I was 12 because Jaden Smith was in Karate Kid at age 11, 12. And I was like, oh, this is a new obsession. Got to watch every single thing he's been in. Not Will. I did not watch that movie for him. I did not watch that movie for Will Smith. I watched it for Jaden Smith the first time around when I was literally 11 or 12. And I sobbed. I damaged my tear ducts. And I said, I'm never watching this again. And then last night, Tiana and I were like, we should watch a tearjerker. Let's find a tearjerker to watch.
That's not a tearjerker.
No, it's just depressing. And capitalism. And
it's a sob fest.
It's sad. It's a sad look at parenthood and capitalism, and it's depressing.
Well,
and I will never watch it again. But Jaden is so cute.
I'm never watching it again, that's for sure.
No, never.
This is another episode of Fangirl Central.
Fangirl Central!
I don't know where you got. But yeah, it is that, and we're back with another episode. We have things to say.
We have things to say. We have current events to touch upon.
Should we just talk about the Jonas Brothers first?
Amanda and I are going to see the Jonas Brothers at the Dodger Stadium September 9th. By the time this episode is out, we will have already seen them. Our hope is that they play Hold On and bring Big Rob out during Burning Up.
Is that our hope?
That's mine.
We haven't discussed this.
Do you agree?
At all. I hope that Big Rob comes out. Like, he came out in 2019 when we went to see them at the Hollywood Bowl.
And I think it's only right that we see him again.
And this time it's going to be at the Dodger Stadium, which is significantly larger than the Hollywood Bowl. The last time I was in the Dodger Stadium, I was on shrooms to see Lady Gaga.
The last time I was in Dodger Stadium, it was for work, and I was there every single day for maybe half of November and all of December.
Well, I'll say, have you ever seen a Dodgers game? Like, have you seen an event there? Like, been a patron of the arts or the sports?
I haven't.
I will say you need to get ready because it is gigantic. It's bigger than any other stadium tour that I've ever been. I don't know why. Frankly, I'm sorry. I don't know why the Jonas Brothers are playing the Dodger Stadium because it's humongous. It cannot be sold out. Like it's there's actually no way that it's sold out. You know what
no,
I mean?
No, it's not. And it's
like
not.
Like it's fucking massive. Like I could see Lady Gaga fine. I was like in the seats that were like right above the floor and it was still like a football field away, but it felt like a very big party. Like I feel like Lady Gaga could like fill up that stadium and like we're partying, we're tripping, we're like we're gay, we're crying. I don't know about what the Jonas Brothers are gonna. What I will say is that I will be drunk.
Yeah, well, okay, I just don't know what the Jonas Brothers are gonna do either. And I Wait, everybody, hold on. Let me put down my...
We're drinking espresso martinis from a buzz ball.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing.
It's like pretty strong. I just took the first sip and I was like, what?
I know, like...
Did some coffee
and vodka. I was drinking this during setup. Like, the whole time we were setting up, I was drinking this. Oh, I said, Amber, why aren't you doing this?
I was having a Celsius. But I wanted to have a discussion before we get further into the Jonas Brothers. Because... What do we want to say about them? Do we want to say things? Because what I want to say about them is that I love their old music. I haven't listened to their new album, The Album.
And that's crazy because we're going to see them tomorrow.
Have you listened to it?
I listened to like 4 songs.
Okay, so maybe we should listen to it after we record this.
We should probably listen to the album.
I want to go for the old music. I know that we've seen maybe what the same exact like medley or whatever that they're going to play with the old music twice now because we went in 2019 and we went in 2021.
No, but it's a 3-hour long concert. So they're going to sing full songs from all 5 of their albums.
Do they have... What?
Amber, did you not realize that that's what it was?
It says 5 albums. 1 night. I know.
Going through it.
What do you think they're going to sing?
Well, obviously they're going to sing.
What do you think they're going to sing that they haven't sung? What about Pushing Me Away? Oh. What about Tonight? I think they sang Tonight at one of them.
I would love it if they sang. But it's all right because it's too late to pretend. You know me better than I know myself. Don't take my heart and put it on a shelf. Yeah.
Don't know. Oh God.
In middle school when people would be like, Amanda, like do your Nick Jonas impression. That's the one I would do.
Hit it. What about OMG? You hear I'm dating a Jonas brother? It's so hot.
Did
she say it's so or he? Because
I have no idea and I've never known it. And I made a music video to that song and I kind of just like blurred my mouth when I was editing that onto YouTube. You can probably still see it on my YouTube. No, it's not public.
You have to know I'm your biggest fan. I've seen all of your music videos so often and like a lot of the time when I'm listening to a song that you've done a music video to, I'm just seeing it in my head or like some move that you've done. I'm like, I only do that because fucking Amanda did that when she was 12.
Okay, well, I'll write back at you because I'm your biggest fan of your talk shows that you put on YouTube. Sankanko. Your Sankanko channel. Okay, Amber's channel is linked to the Mangirl Central YouTube channel. And I'm not even kidding. Amber's the funniest 12-year-old I've ever seen in my life. The comedic timing... on you. And I know you were like, oh,
I can't take credit though because
I know you were not trying to be funny, but it's actually the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. It's just so sharp.
It's goofy.
We had it.
One of my best friends from childhood.
We have sort of a history on YouTube.
We were buffoons.
We're zillennials.
Yeah.
We were on YouTube in 2007.
Does anybody remember Supermac 18? I'm just curious because I could quote, getting noticed at the mall. I can quote that entire video.
Oh my God. The amount of gay boys that we had crushes on YouTube needs to be studied. Like
the amount of gay boys we currently have crushes on now.
Okay, but the history. It started with Supermac 18. It started with JJ Neiman.
Yeah.
JJ's web shows. Webb shows.
Do you remember Awkward Turtle in Awkward Water under the awkward
palm tree
running through the awkward flamingo?
This is the awkward song.
Hey.
And now he's famous on TikTok.
Oh.
And on Broadway.
That other child.
Shout out if you know what we're talking
about.
What
is that child's name?
But they're all, Choice Yvonne.
Who did Stacey's mom. Remember that baby? What was his name? Jack. That's so Jack.
All the gays.
They were so gay and I never knew.
All the gay boys that we had huge, massive crushes on YouTube. I think we're getting away from the plot.
You know how we can put it on the plot? That was kind of lonely fangirling. Didn't nobody care about them kids but us.
Oh.
Not at school.
And that's a little hint for later
topic. Let's wrap up the Jonas Brothers.
Here's my
peeking out.
Here's my statement.
Say it.
Statement from Amanda Lane Miller.
Yeah. Maybe co-signed by Amber. We'll see.
As we said in a couple episodes ago, we are fans of the art and the people in so much as they are the creators of the art. And I've never said anything more genuine in my life than this. I don't give a fuck about another person's relationship.
No.
I will say I do not read TMZ.
Mm-mm.
I don't like celebrity gossip.
We can't keep up and we don't.
I don't get joy from celebrity gossip. Like, I don't.
No, it stresses me out. I've heard different sides now. And so I'm just like, you know what that is? Not my business. And there's, not my concern.
It's not. It, honestly, like, I feel like there's like this thing that we do in society now that we're like literally only on social media. And I'm also only talking about part of the population, because I don't think that most human beings are too terminally online.
Yeah.
But the ones that are, it's like, what are you doing talking about someone else's relationship all day? Like, do you really not have anything else to do? And like, I feel like I watched theories snowball into facts and figures and like passing judgment on people's entire characters and like all this stuff. And honestly, I don't want to talk about it because straight up,
we don't know anything.
I don't know anything. And also, I'm biased. I'm a Joe Jonas fan. Like, I'm a fan of Joe Jonas. And
We
threw him a birthday when he was 19.
Technically, that's our best friend.
So we are actually, this is a conflict of interest. This is a conflict of interest. If you want opinions about Joe Jonas and Sophie Turner's divorce, you're not going to get them here, except for the fact that when I saw the first headline, like before, like the very, very first headline, I texted it to Amber and I said, is this real? And she said, I think. And I said, bitch, he's single. You always said you were going to be his second wife.
And that's true. At 10 years old, I would say I'm going to marry Joe. At 21, he'd be 29 or something. Any adult who wanted to push back would be like, now, I don't know what they would say. They'd be like, now what if I'd be like, well, I'm going to be his second wife. I don't mind. And I think that really shocked them to their core, their Southern core. They were like, why are you claiming that? And it's because I had common damn sense. I will be his second wife. No, I'm kidding.
Honestly, I mean, it's just funny. It's just a funny fangirl thing, because I'm like, Amber, like, you did say you were going to be his second wife.
Okay. And then also Amanda was like, my threesome couple. Down the drain.
I know. Like, my threesome couple was...
I also had that reaction.
My
too.
Top threesome couple for a while was Sophie Turner and Joe Jonas. But Sophie Turner is also bisexual. So I feel like
it'll be fine. Wait, but also I was ran. Okay. So we're not going to speak on it, but know that we obviously have spoken about it to our
friends.
And so
people that we know.
I was ranting a little bit yesterday to Tiana, and I was ranting a little bit on like Team Sophie and like Joe's annoying. And I was ranting because I just had a rant
as
in
you
my
should.
Soul. And Tiana goes, okay, but would you still marry him? And I go, I literally was so prepared to be like, no, because I had just listed all these terrible things about him that I made up in my head. I don't have any confirmation. And she was like, okay, but would you still marry him? And I was like, no. And I literally couldn't say it. I was like, I'm lying. I would absolutely, if he got down on one knee, if I was walking down any hallway, any sidewalk, and Joe Jonas got down on one knee right now and said, Amber, will you marry me? I'd be like, let's do that and let's really work on it. Let's really work on this relationship right after we sign the papers.
Listen, we're not immune to good looks.
No,
we're not
immune to good looks. I know we just had a whole rant about personal relationships, and I said that man's our best friend. But look, balance.
Get a grip.
We're humans.
Understand that we
balance.
Also make jokes for a living.
I be crying for a living.
I just know a lot of people out there probably can relate, because it's like, I don't know that man. I think he's so hot and I love his music. You know, I feel like this way about so many men. Like, I think so many people are hot as hell, and I'm so, like...
There was... No.
Honestly worked up about a lot of people. Yeah. And that's not parasocial. I also want to say that, like...
No, that's connecting somebody, a memory to a person.
Thinking somebody's, like, really hot is not parasocial. Because I'm not making anything up about them in my mind. I can see that they're hot.
You have proof that you think that thing...
I can see.
...is attractive physically. Now... One night, there was one night that Tiana took my phone to take a picture of Harry Styles' back in a pool. And I was like,
what?
I woke up to it and I was like, it was violent of you to take this photo on my phone. I think her photo died, but I was like, you put this on
where
my phone.
Where did she, wait, live? Where?
No, it was like in a magazine. It was like the night before. I don't know what was happening. It was like one late night. I don't know. But then I was like, you know what? If this was anybody's random back, I wouldn't give a fuck. It's absolutely because it's Harry Styles' back. And I have a connection to him.
Okay, well...
So that's another thing.
I think that makes sense because I honestly feel kind of demisexual. Like, I can't really, like, be sexually attracted to someone unless I know them. Not, like, well, but unless, like, we've had a conversation or a couple conversations where I'm like, oh, this person's cool.
If I can,
and for celebrities, if I've seen them talk, like, and if I see their personality, like, it can be as a character, it can be on stage, but I need to see somebody, like, embodying their body. I can't just see, like, a picture of someone. So,
yes, I have to be able to conjure up, like, a whole personality and, like, from either facts I learned from interviews or interactions with them.
Right.
I need to be able to, get some type of substance. I can't just be, like, unless they are really hot on site. Times it really does. I'm like, I don't know. If a friend shows me one of their celebrity crushes that I've actually never seen before or don't know what they're talking about, I'm like, I'm going to need a second to, like, decide if I think this person's attractive. I don't know him or them.
Also, like, people would, like, show me pictures of people on Facebook in middle school and be like, isn't this guy so hot? Like, look at him. He's so hot. And like, I would be like, I literally don't know what that guy looks like.
Yeah.
Like, I literally don't know what he looks like. I'm like, this is a picture of somebody.
Yeah.
And I'm not getting anything from that. And I know that that's not how it is for everybody. People will be like, oh my God, look, like, this model is hot. Like, I've not thought that a lot of models are hot because I don't know anything about models.
Yeah, I need to see what's up.
I need to see how they talk.
Yeah, I need to see how they move.
What one opinion.
Yeah.
Like, give me one opinion about something. Yeah. I need to know some type of personality.
Yeah, like, literally, it can't just be a picture.
No.
Yeah.
And it can't also just be a song. Like, I need to hear, I need to see you sing the song
or
if I'm going to be attracted to you.
Really well.
Yeah, like, perform. Like, how do you perform? And so that's probably why you had some feelings about Harry Styles' back.
I did. I really did have some feelings about it.
But we're going to see the Jonas Brothers tomorrow, and all I know is that I'm probably going to be inebriated in some way.
What I'll say is that I will be singing loudly. My voice will be even more gone than it currently is.
We have floor seats also. Like, so just watch out. I'm not going to be curbing my responses.
I'm wearing tennis shoes so I can dance really hard.
Exactly.
I'm not gonna maybe like a sports bra.
I feel like people are acting like this divorce is like
supposed to
Watergate, like, or something.
Like, I feel like it's supposed to make us be like, we have to not go to the Jonas
Brothers. And we renounce the Jonas Brothers. And we renounce them.
What, you think that those three Christian boys from New Jersey are, like, great human
beings?
We fucking know they're just human.
Like, if you were one of our patrons, you would know that we had a big section where we were kind of roasting all of the Jonas Brothers.
We were kind of going on off.
We were kind of going on off. And it's something that you can pay for it.
You can pay for it. We also challenged them to
We challenged the Jonas Brothers to a dance competition. So
I would like to see it. I think that they would lose.
They would lose. There's no think. There's no thought.
They would lose.
They would lose.
Nick thinks he can move.
Nick, you're losing. Nick, you're losing to us.
Nick thinks that he can turn on a light skin era whenever he wants to, and he really can't. And it hurts me in my very core whenever he has that choir behind him. I'm like, okay, Nick. I'm like, okay, Nick, you got the choir again.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
No, bring me. You've never heard that.
Justin Bieber can dance better than them.
Justin Bieber can dance.
Exactly.
Period. Well, Justin Bieber can dance.
I'm just saying out of the JBs, because we keep saying it. But we need to move on from this. I'm bored about it. Like,
yeah, it's been
that's
enough.
That's literally the other concert that's been going on is Beyonce. Okay.
Yeah.
And I will say that we didn't post about it on Fangirl Central. I'm the social media coordinator. We didn't post about it because I felt the biggest sense of FOMO I've ever felt in my life. Okay. In my life. Like everybody was there on
D-Day.
There
was like actually too much.
Everybody.
Too much, there was too much coverage. And I was like, I'm not even going to think a single second about this for I will fall down.
Amber sent me like a picture or a video or something. And I just remember responding over this past weekend
on
Labor Day. And I said, Beyonce is just, period.
And then you did.
New message. And I didn't send anything else. And then Until 10 minutes later, I said, blah, blah, blah. And then I corrected myself. Beautiful. And then Amber the next morning was like, yes. Like, I just don't have anything else to say because we weren't there.
Too much happened. There were too many people there. I'm actually incredibly pissed.
It was probably a good thing that we weren't there because
Tom Holland and Zendaya were there. And
who knows what
now,
we would have done.
Look what the fuck. Now, listen, I am a very poised. I am a still being at times. Like, I can really be composed.
Mm-hmm.
But if I were on the floor when they were escorting Zendaya and Tom Holland to their seats, I really think that I would faint.
I didn't expect them to be there because they've already gone to the show. Also,
it is her birthday.
I know, but like they've already been, so I wasn't expecting them to go.
That footage did piss me off. That's not what only pissed me off because I did want to see Blue Ivy dance.
What footage?
Them walking to their seats.
Oh.
I just, like,
there was a lot of footage. They were dancing. They were singing. They were having a good time.
I don't need to hear about that because I only watched one of them walk into their seats. And it was a funny video because they were filming them. And then directly behind them were Kylie and Kendall.
And somebody was like, I don't care about them. And I was like, I feel that. Because they were also with Io and Quinta. And I cannot imagine. I literally can't imagine walking into the stadium with Tom Holland and Zendaya.
Tom Holland's very dangerous to
like, me. He was walking behind them. Like, he was filming Zendaya. And I was just like,
he's Ken.
I know this is,
A Ken.
This is a hard topic for Amber. We need to do like Amber Tom Holland check-in because I think you're healing from a parasocial relationship.
I really am. I don't follow that boy on Instagram. And I ended up on his page this morning. In fact, and I was texting Amanda. Wait, let me read it because I was texting Amanda and I said, oh God, I'm just like, I'm so strong.
This podcast is so unhinged. Like, I'm like, do y'all even want to hear? We are going in, like, we're going from unhinged to unhinged. Like, it's not any level-headedness.
Okay, I said.
And we're walking a line, you know? It's like we're walking a fine line of being unhinged and, like, all right.
Okay, I sent her this photo of him fucking crying on set of The Crowded Room, which I have not seen.
It doesn't even look like he's crying. It just looks like he's having a breakdown.
But I said, if Tom doesn't calm down with the dramatic roles, he's going to press himself like Evan Peters. Sit down somewhere, quit crying. Nobody wants to see you cry,
son.
And
what did I say? I said he looks unhinged and insane. I'm sorry.
And I said, that's what I'm saying. And I said, that's why I don't follow him. And then I said, in parentheses, that it's not. I don't. It's a way more detrimental reason.
She also sent me a video of him saying, if you have a problem with me, text me. And if you don't have my number, then you don't know me well enough to have a problem with me. And I think that's
a great
cool
quote, which pisses me off anymore. I hate it when he makes sense. I really hate it when he does something to tick off on the list of why I became a fan of him in the first place. I really hate it because I was really crazy. I was really crazy in 2017.
We all been there. Okay. And that's what we are saying. We're saying unhinged, checking ourselves, validating our experiences, okay? Fangirl ego death.
We all just keep
it in check, okay?
With that segment, even everything I just said just a second ago, I think if I had to talk to him, I could. I definitely could use just a short little white man.
Exactly, and at the end of the day, that's what most of them are. We also.
I was holding my breath.
We also, while we were seated in the theater to see Bottoms, which is not really a fangirl movie, but we'll discuss it because we mentioned it last time.
Is it not a fangirl movie? Because it kind of could be. No.
I think it's a cult movie.
Yeah, no.
But I don't think it's like really fandom-y. Like, I think if you're a fangirl of movies, maybe, probably.
Yeah.
But we saw the trailer for Five Nights at Freddy's. And as soon as the trailer came on, I knew what it was. Amber didn't, but then as soon as Josh Hutcherson came on screen, it was so funny. Amber screamed, I gasped, and Esty was like, oh!
Esty said, oh, and jolted forward.
We were with Alex, our other friend, and Alex like literally doesn't know anything about Josh Hutcherson, and she was just laughing, and we all were like, I haven't seen Josh Hutcherson. You don't understand.
You don't get it because
I haven't seen Josh Hutcherson. None of us have seen Josh Hutcherson on a big screen like that.
He took a break. He did Future Man. That was a Hulu series.
That was silver screen. But that was not the big screen.
He took that role as PETA Malark, and he was like, this is gonna be good for my career. It's gonna be some cash for me.
It was a good role. It was a meaty role.
It was an acting exercise for him. He was covered in mud and stuff. And then he said, now there are too many eyes on me. I'm gonna go back.
He wasn't
dormant, and he did. He took his time off, and now he came back. And I just didn't know. I had heard about the Freddy movie, but I hadn't been thinking about it at all.
I hadn't really been thinking about it either because I wasn't like really. My mind wasn't keyed into what month it was, and since it's at September, it is Halloween. So it's Halloween, and Five Nights at Freddy's is coming out soon, and I just hadn't realized that we hadn't had a trailer. Like I knew it was coming out, but like. And when I saw that Josh Hutcherson was cast in it,
I don't know what number Josh was on my obsessions, but he was up on there. I got every single DVD off of Amazon Prime as soon as the obsession started. Like it was a short one, but it was.
I know. Was intense. It? What was it like 2 months long? I mean,
maybe 4 months.
We have a PETA cardboard cutout. We do. I think a cardboard cutout like signifies a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know, that's not like just nothing.
No.
You know? Like it's PETA. And so he looks so good and he's such a good actor too. Like Josh Hutcherson is always such a good actor. Like we were talking about this. I don't think he was prepared to be being in a fandom thing. Mm-hmm. Is not a light thing to do. No. And I don't think that Josh Hutcherson was prepared for that. Like, no. I don't think he thought it was going to be like the next Twilight. It was literally like, it went Harry Potter, Hunger Games, then Twilight.
Yeah.
No, sorry. It went Harry Potter, Twilight, then Hunger Games. Mm-hmm. And he was in a love triangle that was just as big as the Twilight love triangle. And I think he was just like, oh, it's a good role. Like Jennifer Lawrence is just like, she was in an indie movie a few years ago. Yeah. And that's exactly how it started for Twilight. I think I bet like his managers were like, you know, this could be like, this is a big franchise movie. Like these are the people that made Twilight. Like, do you know that your life is going to change? And I think he thought he could handle it. Mm-hmm. And
he saw it as a big break. And then he was like, well, people don't need to be knowing all that about me. What I was going to say about Tom Holland is I think that because he went to like a fine art school, mm-hmm. he was really like, this is what I want my livelihood to be. Like, I want everyone to know my talent. And so like when he got Spider-Man, he was like, and they will see it in this movie. But right. Then I think that because he was so young, like he used to post all the time.
Tom Holland?
Yeah. Then like he just got too many fans. And I think he was kind of shocked into a corner.
Well, yeah, but.
He's still doing a bunch of movies. Like, he's still working a lot.
Yeah, I think that, like, there's a difference in being, like, a child actor and, like, somebody adult. That starts working when you're a young adult or even, like, a teenager. Mm-hmm. Like, because Josh Hutcherson started working really, really young, and he just, like, I think was, like, a kid that just happened to be really good at acting mm-hmm. and, like, had, like, luck and breakthroughs.
He was steadily
in, like, a lot of things that children like. Yeah. I don't think that adults knew who he was unless they had children.
Little
you know,
Manhattan.
Like Little Manhattan, like Journey to the Center of the Earth, Zathura, Bridget Terabithia. Like we all knew who he was.
Yeah, we were like
anybody younger
that's that
than
friendly faced round-headed boy.
We know who that man is, he's and we so think cute. That he's cool. And when I saw Journey to the Center of the Earth the first time, I said that guy's hot.
Right.
I said, wait a minute.
Okay,
because I've seen him in Bridget Terabithia, but. When did he start looking like this?
Yeah, and then, okay, and it's so crazy because we watched it a couple weeks ago and I was like, he's so little. But I remember watching that for the first time. Mm-hmm. And it's also, just to like skirt off to the side, same with Sean from Boy Meets World, like I remember being like, this is hot.
Yeah.
And I watched a clip on like Reels the other day and I was like, he is so little, like he is in sixth grade.
But literally we were the same age. Yeah. But the thing is that like, he just sort of like, I feel like Hunger Games came, he was like, He was the most famous of the trio. We have to remember that he was already famous.
Yeah, because Jennifer Lawrence Liam was
Hemsworth
movies.
Had been in the last song, mm-hmm. and he was only famous because of Miley Cyrus. Mm-hmm. And then Jennifer Lawrence was not famous at all. No. Like, literally at all. She had been in Winter's Bone, and like the industry knew her.
Accredited. She was like acclaimed.
Yes. Like Hailee Steinfeld in, what is that called? With Jeff Bridges.
Yeah.
That movie.
Mm-hmm. I know what you're talking about.
Everybody in Memphis auditioned for that role.
Oh my God.
Because they were like, we're trying to find a little Southern girl to do it. And then they picked Hailee Steinfeld. I don't think she's from the South. I think she's from California. But whatever. She did a great job. I love her song where she's like,
which one? I love myself.
No. that song where she's like talking about how pissed off she is that everybody
hell no
else
in
is.
Headphones.
Yeah, hell no in headphones. And she's like,
hell no in headphones.
She said, but I saw the sunrise on this town way before you did. And she's talking about how all the other little like starlets are like, they think that she's an idiot and a loser. And she's like, but I saw the sunrise on this town way before you did when I was 12. I thought that line was really cool.
Oh, I've never really thought much about Hailee. Like
I liked when she had her little pop star moment. I was following along.
I like that EP with the hell knows
that album. That EP
that reminds me of.
But I'll be here in the strangers. Ooh. It reminds me of freshman year of college. So your junior year. Yeah, I would be in the shower
me
blasting
too.
That.
Yeah, just like
and be like,
that was like headphones. Angsty.
And what was I fucking saying?
I don't know at all. This buzz ball is crazy. When I got them, the guy at the register was like, because I went in there, I said, do you have any like espresso, like caffeinated mixed drinks? And his coworker showed it to me. And then when I brought it back to the counter, he was like, we're kind of friends. But when I brought it back to the counter, he goes, oh, buzz balls. I was like, I don't know what he said. But I was like, yes.
That's a good impression of him. I know him.
And I was like, yes, they're very strong.
I don't
strong.
Know him. That was a joke.
Yeah, they're very strong. I was like, yeah, they're very strong. He was like, there's no point to this story.
I was going to say is that child actors have a different experience of the industry, I think. And so Josh Hutcherson's just like, I'm a really good actor. I'm a kid. And this is a really cool role. I'm not here to be asked, like, what kind of cologne I wear mm-hmm. and for a bunch of girls to scream in my face.
Or
like,
to start following me.
Like, I don't think
he didn't even do social media.
I don't think that was what he was in it for. But
absolutely.
And not. Then he come along Tom Holland. Mm-hmm. Like, because we've compared them a lot. They kind of look the same.
If Tom was around during PETA, he would have been PETA.
And if Spider-Man was around during Josh Hutcherson, he would have been Spider-Man.
I don't know if I can
I don't know if that I said that and I was like, I don't know about that.
Because while he was a great PETA, I don't know if
he can't do flips.
I'm so sorry,
and stuff.
But I don't think he has the physique and skill to be Spider-Man.
He doesn't do flips. And I was saying he doesn't do flips and stuff.
Mm-hmm. He couldn't do it.
But
he's so cute.
But I do think that Tom would have
been. He would audition for it.
Ooh, Tom and Zendaya would be a really good PETA and Katniss.
And yes.
Like,
and
they would be really. And Katniss is supposed to kind of have the complexion
of
tone, Zendaya.
Not pale as hell.
And she's that tall, too. And they kind of look.
And
if you
Josh
put them
and Tom
together.
Are the same height.
Right. And so are Zendaya and Jennifer Lawrence,
with
I think.
Zendaya's acting skill of today, she
could kill that role.
Now, I'm mad now. I'm mad.
I'm kind of mad that they don't have.
In an alternate universe, that is in existence.
In an alternate universe where The Hunger Games was made into a movie a few years yet later, that is what happened.
And Tom and Zendaya would still end up together.
But I was saying that Tom, I feel like, was perfectly poised to become Spider-Man. Like, I feel like he is charismatic. He's bubbly. He's extroverted. And all the things of fame that can be kind of like hard, like for people like Robert Pattinson, for example, like Robert Pattinson's weird as hell. It's why I love him.
He loves to lie.
He loves to lie again. Why I love him. And he's just like, so like fame was not his thing. Like he hated Twilight because it was so big mm-hmm. and it was kind of ridiculous. And like, I don't think he was ready for that type of fame in the same way that Josh Hutcherson was. But Tom Holland is such a good actor. He is the perfect Spider-Man. And I think that he's also the perfect person to be in that role to market
Can
it.
Can I say something
It doesn't bother him that much.
What I think it is he's a Gemini. And I think that he has the personality to mask when ready. Oh, ironic because of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Spider-Man is a Gemini.
No, Spider-Man's a Gemini.
He can mask when ready. He's like, oh, I know how to turn it on.
Exactly.
And I think that what happened is he got really tired and he said, let me turn it off. And now he comes out when he wants.
I think he took a page out of Zendaya's book.
Yeah.
In like, 100%. Let's literally just be a little bit more private. Like, let's post when we need, when we want to post, and let's just be more private. Like, let's show the world what we want when we want.
Okay. Here's some more parasocial relationship being like theorizing. I think Tom chased the fuck out of Zendaya, and Zendaya was like, "You have a big ass mouth, and that's not how I live."
Oh my god!
Like, you have a big ass mouth. Everybody knows he does, and Zendaya is so private, and so I think he was like, "Let me shut the fuck up so I can get this girl.
And prove."
And now they're together and barely posts.
Yeah, that's true.
I think that's okay. But then also I wanted to say,
I think it's worth it. Look, no, if Zendaya, shut up. If Zendaya asked me to never post again and we could be in a relationship, I think I would say, okay.
Yeah. Wait, Zendaya's so pretty. Okay.
I watched her. Every single time she, like, a reel comes up on her, like a reel comes up on my like Instagram, like explore page. And it's like her like outfits or like the evolution of Zendaya's fashion or like, look at Zendaya walking down an aisle. I watch everything.
She's pride. I feel very proud of her. Pride is not the word I'm looking for. There is so much more inside me now. And that's me when I realized to stop hating on Zendaya because of my own feelings for Tom Holland. Because I did have a small little phase where I was a toxic woman and I was very stressed because I was like, but I love him a lot.
And now, but do you
know? I'm like, we watched Zendaya from Shake It Up,
which everyone hated when it came out, but me and Amber watched it.
We watched
and
it.
And we were kind of, we cringed, but we were like, look at our Watch Me Twisted Up remix. A remix that I made, the first drag mix that I ever made. Me Twisted Up. It's on my YouTube. It's public. We learned those dances.
Yeah, we did. But I would never label myself a Z Swagger, but I definitely was watching all of her YouTube videos.
What did you just say? What was that?
Her fandom name, remember? Z Swaggers. She'd be like, hey, what's up, Z Swaggers? And I was like, what?
We can't.
No, I would never label myself that, but I watched her videos.
Call themselves that.
No, this was Shake It Up days.
Look.
And it was when she was on YouTube, like, smiling so hard that her face, like, her eyes were gone. Like, she was, it was like
this is why a broken smile. This is why I feel privileged that I am the same age as Zendaya and have seen her
grow up
since the Disney Channel days, because I was obsessed with her in some time. I've always been obsessed with her in some way. When she was on Disney Channel, I said, that's a black girl my age on who has her own show on Disney Channel. And then when Replay came out,
I said, I can put this song on replay. I can listen to it all day.
There are too many parts of that song I was on. I learned that dance. Mm-hmm. Like, I watched that video. I said, what is she doing with her body? It's weird, but I like it.
She's shifting her weight. She's shifting one foot.
She's kind of doing pop.
And she's sliding it. And she's doing a half a moonwalk.
And she's doing a come hither.
Doing something with her shoulder.
Half a moonwalk and then come hither. And it's like, yay! And then she was doing that all across, malls all across America.
She was Britney.
She was doing that all mall across America.
She was Britney.
And she can sing and she can dance and she can act. And she's a triple threat.
And then she was like a bit of a Twitter icon because she was tweeting a lot.
She was a Tumblr icon.
She was dancing to Beyonce in the car. Everybody was like, this is fun because that's what I do in my car.
She was posting her little outfits in around like 2012, 2013. She was posting her little outfits on Tumblr. Following her on Tumblr.
She was doing all the right moves with brand deals. Like, she was like, I like this brand. Let me hook up with them.
And then she started partnering with real designers, got on real red carpets, and people were like, is that little Disney Channel girl? And then she called out that white woman for saying that her dreads smelled like patchouli oil.
She said, what did you just say, bitch?
She said, what did you say, bitch? And then she became iconic, I feel like. And, yeah, then,
and then she
kissed Zac Efron.
Okay.
And then she kissed Zac Efron.
Wait, I want to say something first, because first then she put herself back into those acting classes. I don't know if she ever stopped.
Oh, yeah.
But she put herself back into those acting classes she so she could start up. Doing adult... adult content sounds like porn. She can do non-Disney Channel.
You didn't even say adult content.
I was about to say adult content.
No, I think that Greatest Showman was the first thing she did outside of Disney Channel.
It was. And she put herself in acting class so she could do that dramatic world. She could cry when...
And she had a duet with Zac Efron, a fellow Disney Channel star.
Flying in the sky with Zac Efron.
Kissing Zac Efron.
Zac Efron was like admiring her in all the interviews. Zac Efron saying
it's the best kiss he's ever had in his life.
Now that shit is crazy. I will say it again. Zac Efron, never look at me.
And then she was in Spider-Man. And then Euphoria.
And then so Euphoria.
Like, so like, I've always been obsessed with her.
Yeah, I'm proud of her. I am proud of her and where she, how she has lived. And then also, did you see them in Oakland with babies?
Yeah, I saw them. It reminded me of the end of Black Panther.
Same. It also pissed me off because I was like, why did you bring Tom Holland to the States? I don't know how often he's in here and I don't need
He lives here, Amber.
Who said it? Who said that?
Shut Zendaya up. Lives here and Tom lives here.
I thought
here.
They lived in the UK, no?
I don't know, actually.
I don't know where they live.
We're talking out of our ass.
We're talking out of our ass. I don't know where they live, but
I have no idea.
I don't want to run into them out. I don't want to randomly run into them out. I don't want to see them out.
I have no idea where they live.
I don't want to see them out. If anything, here's my transition of fangirl. I used to follow update accounts so I knew where I could find them. I would like an update account so I can know where to avoid these people, if anything.
Well,
someone tell
me where
they are. I think
that's going to be a hard...
Because don't nobody want to
I think that's
going to
be a hard sell because we do live in Los Angeles. So, and this is coming from the girl who used to text me when I went to school here. When I was at USC freshman year and Amber still lived in Memphis, routinely she would say, Harry Styles is in downtown. Do not leave your dorm room.
I did.
And I would say, I don't have a car.
I was like, she's gonna go find him.
I literally would never, like, I don't even, you don't understand that. I wouldn't even know where to begin. Like, following update accounts was your thing.
Do you remember
when- It was not my thing. I did not know how to do that.
Do you remember
shit.
When I was visiting in Five Things of Summer, went to a frat party on your campus?
That pissed me off.
That pissed the shit off of me.
That pissed me off because I was like, and why weren't we there?
No, that pissed me off.
I do want to take this-
I don't think I should have been at a frat party in junior year though.
I do want to take this moment to say-
Junior year of high school.
That me and Amber have run into Greg Sulkin of Wizards of Waverly Place multiple times in Los Angeles. And the first time I saw him was on frat row at USC when I was a freshman. And I passed him, I said, that was Mason from Wizards of Waverly
the
Place.
Wolf.
And I told all my friends that I was with and they were like, who the fuck are you talking about?
The wolf.
And then we've run into him multiple times. We actually interviewed him also, but that's story for a different day.
When he was in Marvel's Runaways.
Maybe we should talk, maybe one topic should be like your correspondent days.
Yeah, because we acted out of line.
We acted out of line with Tyler Posey.
And that's a story for another day.
We acted out of line.
We acted out of line.
And we have video proof. Yeah, like footage. It was like, we're filming, act out of line. Okay.
Wait. I want to say something. We also, one time, we were in a local mall. Bitch, my caffeine. We were in a local mall.
You had
mall.
A Celsius.
Yeah. We were in a local mall and All I Want for Christmas by Big Time Rush started playing. It was around Christmas. And like three words into the song, Kendall Schmidt walks through the doors. And we were like,
what's going on? Did he ask them to play that? Did he ask them to play that?
It was the other way around. We saw him walk into the mall, and then 2 seconds later, after he was out of sight, All I Want for Christmas by Big Time Rush started playing.
And then we were like, oh, hey.
Like, he has to hear
and
this.
Then we were like, oh my God, he's here, and he can hear that.
Right.
And this was before Big Time Rush got back together.
It was way before. It was like.
It was like in their hiatus.
It was like closer to when it had just went off.
Right.
Maybe 2017.
Right. I was going to say 2017. What a year.
That was the year.
The year of Harry Styles.
Thing. Whoa.
The year Harry Styles released his first.
Self-titled.
Mm-hmm.
That was an experience. I remember when that came out.
We're getting off track.
Yeah, we are.
We'll
we
talk really about are. That a different time. Okay. We will do some reminiscing.
Okay, what?
But other, I saw Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles this week.
Yes.
Okay? I know this is a huge fandom thing. Like, it's a huge fandom thing. They did a whole activation about it at Comic-Con. I don't know one thing about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Do you?
I know that Five Seconds of Summer dressed them for a live stream.
And that's all I knew about them before as well.
And that's off track again.
And that's the only thing I knew. I've said before.
I know that Callum was Donatello and purple.
Oh. Oh, he's so cute in the movie. The voice actor sounds like Aang. Kill me. He's so tiny.
No.
No, this is what I wanted to tell you.
No.
They're little babies.
Baby turtles? Because they're teenagers.
Yes, yes. I don't know anything about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but what I've heard.
Aren't they orphans
They were raised by a mutant rat. And they're the only mutants that each other knows in the movie. Now, don't come after me because I don't know anything about the lore.
We done said we don't know shit.
What people have been saying is that in previous versions, they've been like too like serious and like ninja-y. Uh-huh. Somebody tell me if I'm wrong. Uh-huh. And then in this movie, they cast real teenagers. They're like real kids. They let them improvise. They were all filming in the same studio. Like they were all recording in the same studio, which doesn't usually happen with voice acting. And they were all feeding off of each other. And like they were all improvising. And like the chemistry was insane because they're four brothers. They're brothers. And there's four of them. And they have such good chemistry. It was actually insane. I went to a theater and there was barely anyone else in there. And I was like literally the only one laughing out loud, so loud.
Did you cry?
No, I didn't cry.
That's fine.
But I was scared.
Oh.
The villain, Ice Cube is the main villain. He's scary.
Ice Cube.
I was like, because there's been so many superhero movies and I'm like, I'm not like scared at all, but it was scary. I was scared because they're babies.
What is Ice Cube? Yeah, because they are babies.
They're teenagers.
Do you want to know why that hurts me in my soul right now? Is because you just said that they're brothers and they have such charisma. Like, what did you say?
Chemistry.
Five Seconds of Summer are brothers with great chemistry.
They reminded me of 5 Seconds of Summer, I will say. That's like when they were like, in from 2013, they did remind me of 5 Seconds of Summer to 2013 because Amber's falling out of her chair because the turtles live in the sewer and they're not allowed to be in the real world, and the only way that they have access to New York and like American culture is through social media. They have phones.
Really?
And it was kind of like Five Seconds of Summer coming here. They didn't know anything about America. They didn't know anything about like what they were getting into, and it was only through like social media, and they came over here and then they like were introduced into American culture, and now they're like fully in American, like they all live in America.
I'm gonna do something really crazy right now. Okay,
say it.
I'm gonna do something really crazy. I'm gonna put in a request for an Imagine. Anybody can write it, send it to me.
Oh my god.
Please somebody write an Imagine where a man and I walk into the movie theater of Teenage Ninja Mutant Turtles and all four members of 5 Seconds of Summer are sitting there ready to watch with popcorn. Be creative with it.
We used to frequently be like, so they're going to stay at the whole same hotel as us, and like, we'll meet them at the teenage lounge, and then we'll all hang out and be like, we actually like kind of like your music. Or like I'll be in a comic book store and then Michael will be browsing at the same time, and then we'll be like, oh my god, like I was gonna get that too.
Cause they used to only wear Marvel shirts. Y'all remember that era? And we were like, we like Marvel too.
They did remind me of Five Sauce. Now I wanna go back and look at which one was which.
Okay, I think
hold on.
Let's look it up because Donatello, Raphael's red, right?
Yes.
That's all I know. I think Luke maybe was Raphael.
That doesn't sound right to me.
Well, I didn't.
Based on the movie that I saw,
Five Sauce.
But Amber, you have to see it. It reminded me of Spider-Verse, only in the way that like it was really like cool animation, like new animation, which I really desperately hope, because I always say American animation should take a page out of fucking anime, because the only animation we have is either for kids or it's like raunchy comedies. Mm-hmm. There's no like mature fantasy sci-fi funny movies, and like Spider-Verse and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles I think are changing the game. Mm. Because it's like, why don't we have like very cool, very adult, fantasy animation. You can do literally anything you want with animation. Like, why don't we have that?
Wait, okay. I hear you. What do you think of Aggretsuko in that category? Is that too adult for the children?
No, well, no. I mean, Aggretsuko is like, it's an anime. Mm-hmm. Like I love Aggretsuko. I think that
me too. I've been watching season five,
but that's
week.
Japanese. Yeah, it's still anime. Like I feel like we need something like Aggretsuko in American animation. Yeah. Like I feel like American animation needs to take a page out of that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, I
it's
hear
like,
you.
Like Aggretsuko is full satire.
Yes.
Like it's full
it's
deep.
So, no, it's so relatable because wait
it's
a second.
It's so funny.
The first season, she's 25 and she's like got an office job and I haven't been watching it. But I was like kind of really stressed about work a couple weeks ago. And I was like, hang on, I'm 25 with an office job. And I love karaoke. It was like right after I had gone to karaoke and like sang my heart out and felt good. And I was like, oh, am I in Gretzico? I'm a little red panda. But anyways, look. Callum is Donatello. Who's yellow? Michael's yellow.
Okay, let me do it by I think that's Mikey.
Michelangelo. He was Michelangelo because they thought it was funny.
And then, oh, right. His name's Michael.
And then what's blue?
Leo.
Luke is Leonardo.
Leonardo.
And Raphael.
And then Ashton's Raphael. See, if I were to do it in the movie version, like Callum being Donatello is fine.
Yeah.
But Leo was kind of like the leader. And then Raphael had like anger management issues. So I don't know if any of them look, I don't know anything about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Maybe somebody write in and like say who is which turtle, like which five sauce summer. Guy is which turtle, because I'm just telling you, Amber, like I will see it again with you because
I
that's how much
it.
I liked it.
Yes, I need to see it.
It was so good. And also Io was really good.
I
will say, I don't think I've said this on the podcast. I auditioned for Io's role.
I always forget that.
I auditioned for her role and my roommate Esty played all four Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles behind the camera for my self tape. And I, when it got to that scene in the movie, I was like, I literally did this. I literally memorized these lines. And I was like, at the time when I got the self tape, I was like, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, they're making another movie? Like didn't they just make like 4 billion movies about this? But it was good.
Did they?
They've made so, I feel like there's been so many.
I feel like it's a cartoon. I don't think they've made any movies.
They made movies with Michael Bay and Megan Fox. Live action. Yeah, and I never saw it.
Oh, I do vaguely remember that.
I never saw that.
Okay.
But Io did an amazing job. And I think that it was written by Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg, who also wrote Superbad, which is my favorite comedy movie of all time.
Right.
And they're genuine fans of it. Mm-hmm. And they genuinely wanted it to be updated to like feel really like teenager. And I was like, I wish like, they're so, yeah.
I wish
they're so cute. And I was like, it's so funny.
I wish Five Sauce would get back on stage in them damn costumes because they used to perform in them. And I know they're old or whatever, but do it, boys.
We're always children. Just remember that.
Yeah.
Just
our dad's been dressing as Darth Vader like for like the since he was 40.
Yeah.
Started at 40.
He started at 40. So. And then he, you know, I mean, watch our episode with our dad.
Sweet Papa.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC.
For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Okay, Tiana asked me what our main topic of this episode was, and I said loneliness of being a fangirl, and she goes, wow, loneliness of being a fangirl is so real. And it is.
I think the default experience of being a fangirl is loneliness, and you have to like work to find community. Yeah. That's my experience, because, and I don't know if that's relatable, because I feel like a lot of times fangirls, the most passionate ones, are introverts, so it's hard to make friends.
Yeah, and because especially they found something to be passionate about, like within themselves, like,
yeah, and like
that's where they're comfortable.
A lot of people might not relate to what you like, and like people at school might think you're weird because of it, and so like you kind of hide that you like it as much as you do because people will think it's uncool to like it as much as you do. And even if they're casual enjoyers, which this was a meme last week, or maybe, I don't know, 2 weeks ago, depending on when this comes out. You know, when you're a casual enjoyer deranged of something and you're deranged. Mm-hmm. Like, that's me with every single thing I like. I'm not just a casual enjoyer of anything. And so it's like trying to hide that in certain levels, you know? And
Except we are casual enjoyers of stuff. It's just that we wouldn't claim them as a fandom to begin with.
No.
Like, and there are people who can't do that, or who don't do that. Like, I have a lot of things where I'm like, oh, I watched it, but I don't really know what's going on, or I don't have like no intel. That's a casual enjoyer. But like, if I am that type of fan, I wouldn't
want
to
bring
it up. I wouldn't claim it to be in my belt of fandoms for a conversation. I wouldn't even consider bringing it up. Like,
me neither.
If I, like, you know, so I guess like, that's a whole other thing.
I wouldn't claim it as my fandom. Like, I wouldn't be like, I'm a fan of that. I don't think I would even say that I was a fan of it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, I love Beyonce, but I know I'm not a Beyonce stan. Like, I'm not, I do not claim. Like,
there's a lot I've missed from her, but there, like, I love her.
I love her music, and I love her and what she stands for. But like,
I really wanted to be at the concert. I think that I would have had the time of my life. It would have been a reset of like, just mental health. But I know that there's a huge population of people who needed to be there more than I did in the same breath.
Right. There are things that I'm a casual enjoyer of, but I just don't think about them very much.
Right.
Like, they're not top of my mind.
I wouldn't bring them up in conversation.
No, I wouldn't bring them up in conversation, because when people bring up things that they kind of like and I'm like fucking obsessed with it, I'm like, we shouldn't have a conversation about this, because I'm gonna scare you.
We're not gonna meet in like, the middle here.
I'm gonna start talking about theories, and I'm gonna start talking about like fan fiction, and I'm gonna start talking about things that you cannot understand. Like, the first fan fictions I read were High School Musical fan fictions.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've said that, but the first ones I read were Troy, Gabriella.
Same.
Also like Sharpay and Zeke, because I didn't get enough of them.
Yeah.
That post-credit scene really just sparked something in a lot of people.
Yeah, it did. It was cute.
The reason that like we came up with this topic was because I was remembering the other day that High School Musical is such a big reset for me. It was a cultural reset for me. Like, it came out 2 months before Hannah Montana, and like, I feel like the Cheetah Girls and That's So Raven prepped me for this, but we had not ever had an original Disney Channel movie. Why did I say it like that? A Disney Channel original movie that was a completely original musical. Like, the Cheetah Girls has music in it, but all the music is like completely like natural in the movie. It's always somebody performing. It's not like somebody just bursting into song.
Yeah.
And High School Musical was the first one that ever happened. And that literally like changed my life. I think that was the very first musical I had ever seen. Like, I did not go
after
watch
Grease.
Oh yeah.
I think that might have been what connected us, because our mom showed us. I remember the night
it was the same year.
No, and I remember the night mother was like, our mom was like, girls, Grease is coming on tonight. I'm going to record it on the VHS because I know how to do that now. And you girls can watch it. And then she like blacked out the sex part. And I was like, what? Have you, what is this? She said, it just is something. It's just part of the movie that you don't need to see.
You don't need to see it.
But I remember how excited she was that she was able to put that on VHS.
And like I had been in musicals, like I'd been in Oliver and like Peter Pan and Wizard of Oz. But like this was like a modern original musical, and it was like we had just seen Grease that fall, and then High School Musical came out, and so it was just like really, really important to me. And then
Peter Pan was not a musical.
Yeah,
the fuck did y'all?
We were the Lost Boys.
Sing something.
There was some songs. There was some songs.
I don't remember y'all singing.
I got a crow. From 21 Jump
Street. Was that it? Are you serious?
I got a crow.
Was that at the production? I mean, yes. Was that at our school production?
Everyone knows where we went to school. Nobody knows where we went to school, but you can find it really easily. Sang that song. I swear to God, I wasn't on stage for it, but like, I think this was the musical that I saw the least.
Is that what?
Yes.
It's called? Okay.
Yes, it was a musical.
That was so crazy.
Just trust me. But
I trust you. I just
when I was what role. I was saying is that High School Musical very important to me. But then High School Musical 2 came out when I was 11, and I feel like 11 is the year that it really gets real. Of the trilogy of High School Musical, I've probably seen High School Musical 2 the most times. My very first experience watching High School Musical 2 was completely alone. Like, Amber had gone to someone
else. I went to my friend's house to watch it.
Yeah, she went to her friend's house to watch it, and it was sixth grade. It was the beginning of sixth grade. I had just had like kind of a fizzle out of a friend, of friendships. Like, my best friend from kindergarten had just moved out of the city, but all of fifth grade she had been ignoring me anyway for the popular girls, and then my other best friend also left, who had also been ignoring me for the popular girls. So like, I literally didn't have any friends going into sixth grade. And High School Musical 2 came out August 17th 2007, and I didn't have anyone to watch it with. Like, I couldn't have invited someone over if I tried.
And you know what, you could have come to, but you didn't want to.
Did she invite me?
I mean, yes, you were like the older sister. You were invited anywhere I went. You just never wanted to hang out with me and my friends.
I don't know what was going on. I don't remember
you
that.
You never wanted to hang out with me and my
friends. I know that I didn't want to hang out with you and your friends, but there was no invitation. It was like, oh, Amber's going.
Right. There was like that.
It was like I wasn't going to ask.
But at the same time, I didn't think that you, I thought you were content with that. Like, in my head, I was like, Amanda would rather be alone than me stay home and watch this with her. Because if I knew you wanted to watch it with me, I would have been like, sorry, girl, gotta watch it with my sister.
I think that it just was something where it was like, I didn't realize that was happening until it happened. Like, mommy was like, I'm going to take Amber to, and I was like, oh. And then I just like realized, and I was like, oh God, I'm guessing I'm alone. And so I like
watched. You didn't have any plans.
I watched all of High School Musical 2 sitting on the floor, like really close to the screen, watching it all. And then like, mommy was cooking in the kitchen and she would sometimes talk, and I'd be like, don't talk to me like I'm watching.
Did you watch
this.
The High School Musical, the Sweet Life Zack and Cody episode before too, alone?
Yeah,
like that's tragic.
And like,
or I'm sad for you. I just like of how I now know that you were feeling.
I don't really remember vividly what was like that night, but I get glimpses of it, and I know what I felt during that time of my life, which was extremely lonely. Like, did not have very many friends, and like extremely obsessed with High School Musical 2. And like, I didn't have anyone to share it with. And so I just like watched it alone. And my experience of it for the very first time was just completely like whatever my own thoughts were. And I was like, and I started crying the other night thinking about my 11 year old self, because I was like, and she really just didn't have any friends and nobody to share this with. And it was like the most important movie that had ever come. And Miley Cyrus was in it. Like, it was the most important movie that had ever come out for me personally in my personal history.
That must have been a trauma bond to High School Musical 2.
I mean,
like, you must have been like, I'm alone, but I'm so close to the screen and these people are with me and Miley's here too.
Yes, like I was like, these are my friends. And I remember having a deep yearning to be part of that cast in a way that I wasn't for the first one. I was like seeing all the behind the scenes leading up to when it came out. And I want to be part of that. Like, I want to be Kenny Ortega. I want to be Zac Efron. I want to be Vanessa Hudgens. Like, I wanted to be with them all. I was like, I can do these dances. Like, I know the dances. I've learned them all. The dancing is, we're kicking it up a notch. And I'm like, and I can keep up.
I could be in this movie.
And I was like, I could be in this movie.
My sister.
And I always wanted, and I really wanted to be. And a couple months later, when I did get a bunch of friends, like I slowly started get, but I want to like give myself props because that summer leading into it, I was like, I have no friends, but I'm going to read all these magazines, advice columns, and I'm going to read American Girl, the middle school, how to be in middle school book.
Yeah.
And I was like, I have so much confidence. I'm going to be confident. I don't need to be popular as long as I'm confident. And I'm like, the gall of this child.
The Lulu.
Like, I don't know what was going on with her.
That
and I was like, I have
powerful
to.
Powerful Lulu.
I have to give it up for Disney Channel. I would not have been that confident if I had not said, life's what you make it. Nobody's perfect. I got nerve. Like, I was literally, I had the confidence of a bitch who did not.
Of a bitch
Where
who
was, that?
Was living a double life. You said it doesn't matter because here, I know who I, the basis of Hannah Montana is like, Miley is a loser. I'm putting quotations around it at school, but she's like, it really isn't that serious because I'm Hannah Montana.
Right.
And that is like literally the energy you adopted.
That's
you said,
what I was doing.
Me being miserable at school and like having friend fallouts. It's not that serious because I'm pretty cool. I'm pretty much as amazing as Hannah Montana.
Right.
And you got up on that sweet and sassy stage and you did Nobody's Perfect.
I literally just had so much DeLulu. Like
bitch.
And because I remember it was the day that it was coming out and I was like, I'm going to watch High School Musical 2. And I was really excited to see it anyway, even if I wasn't sharing it with anybody. And I love watching movies by myself to this day.
Maybe
like
that's why.
I'm obsessed. I mean, I'm literally like, I am obsessed with movies. Like movies is like my number one thing probably of everything. Cause even if like it transcends fandom cause it's like what I love and what I want to do and what I want to make. Mm-hmm. And it does have roots in like High School Musical and the making of High School Musical and especially the making of High School Musical 2. Mm-hmm. Cause I already knew what High School Musical was. Now it was the 2 and it was bigger and better. And when I watched it alone, I felt like it was a little bit of a privilege to just be able to soak everything in without anyone talking.
Yeah.
And I was like, don't ask me questions. Don't say anything. I just need to look at all these dance moves and I need to watch them so closely. And I need to watch closely to see when Miley Cyrus appears because I know she's about to appear.
Absolutely.
I guess it's the beauty of the loneliness of being a fangirl and the tragedy because one of my favorite pastimes is still being in my room, getting high and like watching Doctor Who and reacting to the screen myself.
I love being alone and like talking to the TV as if
they can
the
hear
writers
me.
Can hear me mm-hmm. and hear me ridiculing their dumbass mistakes for the characters.
I mean, I like to talk to it. The characters. I like to be like,
you are,
what are you talking about?
I like to be like, this is on you. Like if they're going through something and I've seen it enough, I'm like, what happened was, and I will literally break it down from like season one, episode 3, to like we're maybe in the 15th episode and I will just be like, you did this and then that happened and that's why you all fucked up right now. No one can hear me.
Exactly. I
will list it out. It's therapy.
That's the fun part of being a fangirl of something that nobody else understands. It's like, at least you understand. And that's why you turn to things like Tumblr mm-hmm. and other things online where you can find people.
You find validation of people who are saying the same thing.
You find validation. And usually, unless you are the most unhinged, you find people that are more unhinged.
Right.
And it makes you more validated.
Right.
Because you're like, bitch, same.
Yeah. You're like, okay. So we all get it.
When have been times where you felt lonely as a fangirl?
The day I didn't meet One Direction. The end of that film.
That's a film.
Okay, well then let me talk about it. My friendship fallouts happened in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And it was right when I was getting obsessed with One Direction. So my pastime, like I was like, I don't need to be going to social events with all the high schoolers, like football games and like parties and stuff. Because I have to go, I think I said this in like one of the first episodes, because I have to go home and I have to read I have to catch up on all the press and all of the things One Direction. Like I have to go see what the boys have been up to. I've missed it. That's so urgent to me and the only thing that I care about. And at this point in life, I'm like, I can't tell if that was the only thing I cared about or the only thing I allowed myself to care about because I was so sad about my friendship fallout.
Yeah.
And so that is the loneliest That's what I think of when I think of being lonely as a fangirl, because I was like, no one gets it. There are some people at school, I can think of like three people at school who were One Direction fans, and like they would talk to me about it, like maybe later in the fandom experience. But at the same time, I was like, you know, I don't know what they mean to you, and you sure as hell don't know what they mean to me, but they mean something crazy important to me. Like, these 5 euros are lifelines at the moment. And I used to always say, like, the more intense I got with it, the more concerned people would be, like, what happens if they break up? And, like, sometimes it was stank energy, and sometimes it was, like, genuine concern. It was like, girl, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
And I'd be like, you know what? I will be okay if they get me through high school. If they get me to graduation, I will be fine. Which is why Zayn leaving in 2015, my junior year second semester, was, like, earth-shattering, because I was like, it was earth shattering. I was like, I need you guys to just stay together, get it together, get it together. I wasn't even caring about, like, if I'm being honest, I was not caring about them that much. I was not on update accounts the way I used to be, like, at their beginning, at the Take Me Home era.
Right.
It was simply because it was habit. I was like, yes, the boys. If I can meet, if I am in LA at the same time as them, I would like to run into them. I would like to have my own little moment. But it wasn't, like, genuinely wasn't sparking the same funness. It was kind of a prison towards the end. And then Zayn left, and I was like, I'm devastated, but I get it, because, bitch, I want to leave too.
I think what you're describing is
a trap.
I don't know if this happens for everybody, but it's because it's why I'm so thankful for the fact that we have this podcast and, like, Fangirl Central in general, because there were some years there where I thought that, like, fangirling was in my past. Like, it was a thing of the past, and everything that I loved once had ended or soured for me. Like, High School Musical ended, Hannah Montana ended. Like,
a lot of the celebrities who were parts of those projects were denoting it. They were denouncing it. They were like, we don't want to talk about it.
We don't want to talk about it. It's
so
not
we
cool.
We were like, okay, it's over.
Like the people in Twilight didn't want to talk about Twilight anymore.
Zac Efron,
like,
didn't want to talk about High School Musical.
He didn't even want to
say Hannah Montana is dead. She said that on SNL.
Like,
and that's her right, because it was her. But that hurt.
It was a time. And then also, like, I fell off Marvel. Like, Marvel, Marvel fell off me. Yeah. And I was just like, okay, so, like, I'll never feel the passion that I felt when I was a teenager ever again. And honestly, some of that is true. Like, I would like to think that I will never rely on a piece of media as heavily as I did in my teenage years and, like, my most lonely years. And I'm like, what's going on with us? Because I feel like we had ties to media in ways that other people did not growing up, period. Like, we remember all the Barbie movies. We remember all the My Scene movies. We remember literally everything we've ever liked. Like, Bratz, like, Disney Channel. We remember everything in a way where it's like, it's not nostalgia for us. It's just the way that we grew up. Like, it's like, we have seen all of these pieces of media every single year. It's not like, oh, remember this? I saw a tweet, somebody said, I just watched High School Musical for the first time in 10 years. And I'm like, I couldn't
relate. No, yeah, like, when people started like making reels, like, remember this scene from Raven? Remember this random, remember when London was in an episode of Phil of the Future? I don't know, like, something.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like,
yes. I never forgot.
What do you mean remember?
Because I never forgot.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is that?
I think we can chalk it up to our giant ass DVD booklet. There are two types of people. There is one who does not have a DVD booklet filled, and one who has a whole DVD booklet filled. And back in the day, if you had those DVDs, those were, like, literally the content you had on command. Like,
yeah, and
we didn't have streaming services. We had channels. So if you didn't catch it at the beginning of a movie, you couldn't see the whole thing.
We had a
we would come
huge
home from
DVD
school
booklet
and be like, flipping through the book, like, which one do we want to watch? Which one we watch? Some we would watch, like, maybe 5 times a week, and some we would be like, we've never touched. Like, I think we got Ratatouille for Christmas, and we did not touch it, but we put it in the DVD booklet.
Right, and now Ratatouille is one of my favorite movies.
Yeah,
as an adult,
but because it was on Disney Plus, and I started watching it.
Yeah,
but even to go back to the booklet, I just remember, like, there were times where we were like, no, we would acknowledge we've watched that too often.
Yeah.
We need a break from that one.
And then
but
we'd be like,
few
oh,
months, we would come back to it.
Yeah. And the ones that we didn't watch very often, we'd be like, oh, we haven't watched that in about 6 months.
Yeah. We were like,
it was like that, but that 6 months is not a very long time.
No.
It's like, I haven't watched that in years. And it's like, no, it was 6 months ago, yeah. bitch. Like we kept up with the media and we relied on it in a way to cope with being lonely. Like, and the loneliness stemmed from being different. Like
yeah.
it stemmed from being different. And like, I did not get my joy from like social events, like football games in high school. Like I tried in middle school, but then I quickly realized that like, I was not like the other girls. I was black and just a little bit strange.
And kind of loud. Like I,
and yeah. kind of too much and like kind
a little
of like
too much.
A little bit neurodivergent and like I was not reading social cues in the same ways.
If I don't feel like I can be, if I don't feel like I can be as much as I am in a space, I will be silent.
Right. Me too. And that's why I like could do it on Tumblr and I could yeah. do it online. I could do it when I watched my favorite things. Like I could lose myself in these worlds. And I said to Amber the other day, I was like, I think that we were cursed with being this way because our parents were born on Comic-Con weekend and Halloween.
That's right.
And they're just as obsessive as us. So yeah. We did get it from somewhere. And like they grew up
so
they're Gen X. They're like the TV generation. Like their parents like would leave them at home to watch TV.
They like our parents are fangirl enablers. Like there's a definition of fangirl enablers. Like one time I think I like got a 40% on a test because it was reading comprehension and I was 10. I was having a hard time. And our dad was like, if you don't get these grades up, you can't go to that Hannah Montana concert. And our mom was in the kitchen. She said, no, that's a once in a lifetime thing. She said, we'll find another punishment. You can go to that concert. We're all going to that concert. But you should really work hard to get that grade up. If you don't, we'll take something else away. But it was such a quick turnaround. Like when he said it, it didn't even, I don't think you were in, would you say you don't remember that?
No.
I don't think you were in there. Like it was like right when we got home. And I think he just was like really trying to just get something that he knew it mattered. But it didn't sound right coming out of his mouth. It was an immediate, no, we don't. That's not how we
Hannah
do.
Montana, best of both worlds. Yeah, we're going to that.
They were fangirl enablers. Like
even if you're failing, we're going to that.
Like once again, go watch The Day I Didn't Meet One Direction, watch our mom whip around in that car. She said, skirt.
She said skirt for us. She did that for us.
She said, get out of the car. We saw them and she said, girls, get out.
I just like,
we wouldn't have gotten out. We were frozen with shock. And she was like, get out, run.
There's also like, when I'm my most depressed, like I have my depression viewings are Invader Zim and my box DVD set of Invader Zim commentaries, like the creator commentary and like the cast commentary. And I would literally like go up into the playroom to plug in the pink lights so that everything was just pink and then watch Invader Zim in the dark. In pink and then just like cackle to myself and be like, nothing else can make me laugh. And this is going to make me laugh. And that was a piece of media that I thought was so weird that I could not share with anyone else. Mm-hmm. It was like so weird that I couldn't mm-hmm. even comprehend sharing it mm-hmm. with anybody.
You're like, ain't nobody going to get it.
Nobody's going to get this.
And it's then our dad did.
Detrimental in ways. Cause it's like, people will get you. Yeah. Like people are not going to understand every single part of you ever, but people will get you and there will be some people that are open-minded enough to like welcome in the weirdest parts of you.
Yes. They'll be like, I don't get it, but I'm so happy that it makes you happy. There are right. people like that.
And then there's some people that'll be like, yeah, I love this too. This mm-hmm. is exactly my shit as well. The experience of like being in your room or like being in a room and just consuming the media that makes you the happiest that you gotta do to get through your teenage years. You really just have to do it
and watch it or read it or listen. To it.
Like
just whatever it is, you just, it's a lifeline and it's just.
And honestly, if you can find that thing that makes you that happy and like can pull you out of a depression,
it's
like
gold,
it's gold.
Cause it's Eureka. You done struck gold.
Cause I still do. My other depression movie is Howl's Moving Castle, which is one of my favorite movies. And I rarely ever watch it when I'm happy.
I was thinking, okay, to go back to 5 Seconds of Summer, I was thinking about how like I can listen to Youngblood front and back, mm-hmm. My Rule 2.0 front and back. I don't listen to Take Me Home often, but when I do, I feel this rush.
That album.
My bloodstream. I'm just like, that was shoots. The summer of a lifetime.
It shoots euphoria into my veins.
I remember the day the Best Song Ever music video dropped and I sobbed. sobbed so hard in the back of our rental car because we were driving away from Comic-Con. Like, woo! I sobbed so hard. They started doing all of their little dances that they had been collecting over the only 2 years that they had been together, even though I thought that they had been together for, like, 10 at that point. Like, it seemed like it was a decade long. That's how intense this feeling was. I was like, they're doing all the dances that they've collected as a group. And I was sobbing.
There's nothing else like it.
Take me home.
There's really nothing else like it.
And
like,
take me home. Now that's isn't that a fitting title? Take me the fuck home.
And now that's why I'm so passionate about creating community around fandom.
Yes.
Because
it's there.
I'm trying to talk about it with people that are willing to talk about it. Whenever I find somebody that likes what I like, I'm like, let's talk about it. Listeners of this podcast to talk about it with me. Like, I want people to meet each other because of it.
There's no more cringe.
Like,
we have to celebrate.
No, don't cringe because you like something. Like, love it, and you can still love it into your adulthood. Like, unabashed love for something is not just for kids.
No.
I will repeat it until the end of days. You have to keep loving stuff.
And you know what? This is kind of crazy, but I always hated how they would tell the rabbit that tricks are just for kids.
I hated that too.
Because I was like,
tricks are for kids?
You can't outgrow
so what?
Some damn
it's
yogurt.
It tastes good.
Let that rabbit have the tricks.
Let the rabbit have the tricks.
Don't call him silly. Derogatory. Mm.
And he never got them. I was like so pissed off.
No, they were treating him like he was Swiper.
I know. Swiper was Swiper. Hot. Swiper.
Sorry. I'm so sorry that was in it.
Yeah, we
thought.
Had a crush on Swiper. Who didn't? We need to wrap this up.
Okay.
We need to wrap this up.
Listen, I just want to show one thing. I went to Vegas for a work trip, and the House of Gaga was there. Amanda couldn't join, but she is admittedly a bigger Lady Gaga fan, so I got her some merch.
It's this big, big pink shirt that says House of Gaga, and I love it. I screamed when I saw it. I love Lady Gaga. As I said, I saw her on Shrooms at the Dodger Stadium. It was one of the best nights of my life.
It literally had your name written on it. It was pink and Lady Gaga. I got this sweatshirt.
Lady Gaga. Stephanie Geminada.
Okay.
It doesn't matter if you love him. A capital H-I-M-M-M.
Yeah, baby, you were born this way. And you that can talk song, about that being a fangirl.
That song made me gay.
I think
we're gonna
just like, yeah, it can be lonely being a fangirl. Some of the loneliest moments are when you are at your heightened fangirl identity. But you know what? It got you to the other side, didn't it? And be proud of it.
We're here too, so you're not alone.
You're not alone. You are not alone.
You are not alone.
You are not alone. No one is alone.
Me crying on stage being in Into the Woods as a teenager.
One day we're going to talk a lot about Little Mix. I have a lot to say.
Oh my God, the episode of Doctor Who that I just watched, they were only playing Little Mix. Like every song they would play would be Little Mix because one of the characters loved it. And they'd be like, do you know this band?
Is it a new season?
No, it was from like 2016 or something.
Oh, wow.
And then the doctor's like, Little Mix? And I'm like, the doctor's talking about Little Mix. I gotta go.
We need to talk about Little Mix in an episode and like how they were snatched from America.
And we need to talk about musical theater because
yeah,
it is just...
I love thinking of topics at the end of episodes.
Yeah.
Okay, let's wrap it up.
All right, well, hope you like this episode.
Hope you found some
solace.
I was going to say solace, but I was like, is that what I wanted to say?
Solace.
And
as always, keep it chaotic.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.